Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 23. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the text. Last week, I mentioned that there is no victorious, abundant life promised during our time on earth. Our old Adam is always concerned about what happens in time. Our old Adam is continually frustrated that God does not act in the timeliness that we desire. We ask, why is God slow in answering our prayer? As we turn our attention today to the end times and Christ's return, throughout the generations, every generation of Christians has asked, why is God so slow in ushering in the last day? We need to keep in mind how God historically has worked. Just remember that God promised Abraham that he would have a son. Isaac didn't come along for another 25 years when his wife Sarah was well past the age of childbearing. God's promises, they come with a guarantee that he will keep his promise, but he does not guarantee when he will keep his promise. And the fulfillment of his promises always have to do with eternity, not time. Our victory comes in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Until then, we continue to mark time. Today, we celebrate the final Sunday of the church year, the Sunday of the fulfillment, sometimes called Christ the King Sunday. We mark time according to days, weeks, years, and this is not a bad thing. It's just our reality. This is what we do as we are bound to time. And on this day, we celebrate our victorious, glorious King. Crown him with many crowns, we sing. We celebrate the one who reigns for all eternity. But what is victory for our King? What is glory? For Christ, it was entering into this world of time as the child of Mary. The prophet Isaiah had foretold the virgin will be with child and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Jesus was born about 700 years later. God keeps his promise, but there was no guarantee of when he would keep that promise. Our victorious, glorious King entered into time. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. But his victory and his glory was not what was expected. We read of it in Luke's gospel. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. And the only crown was a crown of thorns. It is there that we see his victory, his glory, as he paid the penalty for your sin and mine. And he is the first fruits of the resurrection. For those caught up in this world of time, as we all are, it would be logical to look at the Bible, to read the Gospels, and assume that Jesus must have done this. He must have made this sacrifice so that his followers can prosper, can reign over this world, I mean, Paul says in our epistle lesson today, by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all the worldly power comes from him. And he calls us his own. We are his people. He is in us, he promises. His Holy Spirit has made your body his temple. He feeds you with his own flesh and blood. He has promised that he will never abandon you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, says the Lord. So what does Jesus, our victorious, glorious King who entered this world of time, what does he promise that we will have during this life? We heard it last week. He says, before the end comes, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. Some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. This week we hear Jesus say, weep for yourselves and for your children, for behold, the days are coming. Where there is time, there is no glory as defined by the world around us. There is no victorious, abundant life promised here on earth. We either grow old and die, or we die young. That is the result of being under the law and the curse of sin. There is no place in Scripture where God has made promises of exceedingly long, healthy life, freedom from stress, the guarantee of happiness. God's promises have to do with eternity. Our victory comes in the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. As I was preaching this last week, I was thinking to myself, I kid you not, while I was preaching it, this thought went through my mind, that I am never going to become an internet sensation if this is my message. Because this is a message that the world does not want to hear. But then again, that's really not the goal of Christ's church. The message of preaching Christ and him crucified. Preaching this message that the world doesn't want to hear. That's the goal of Christ's church. Because there is no other gospel. There is no other good news. Anyone who tells you that there is an abundant life here on earth is trying to sell you something or get something from you. Paul says, if our hope in Christ is for this life only, we are to be pitied more than all men. If there is no resurrection of the body and life everlasting, if what it's all about is what we get here, or even if a portion of what it's about is what we get here, then what a waste of time. And if there is no eternity, if there is no future beyond this life, then us gathering here today is a total waste of time. As I've thrown the quote around in the newsletter and a few other places recently, it is one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. He says, Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Either this is a complete waste of time, or there is nothing more important we could be doing with our time right now. Those are the only two options. We have a victorious, glorious King, and he has called you his own. He has made your body the temple of his Holy Spirit, and he does feed you with his very own body and blood. So what does our victorious, glorious King promise? His promise to you in this world of time is that unless, of course, Christ returns first, on the day that you die, he will speak the same words of promise to you as he spoke to the thief on the cross. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And that will be the last day, the last moment of time you will ever have to consider. Eternity is timelessness. For all eternity, there will be no worry. There will be no fear. The prophet Zechariah describes the New Jerusalem as being a city without walls. There's no need for walls because there's nothing to fear. There's no thief, there's no army, there's no flood, no storm, nothing that will disturb the joy that God has provided. The only fear will be the fear of the Lord, the reverent awe and majesty of God, who brought his people out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And as we read Luke's gospel, and we see the Lamb of God being sacrificed upon the altar of the cross there at Calvary, the repentant thief hanging next to him expresses the connection of faith and the fear of the Lord. And he rebukes the mocking thief, saying, "Do you not fear God?" As we mentioned last week, Psalm 130 says, "If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared." Forgiveness creates the fear of the Lord. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, as we gather this day and turn all of our attention to the coming of Christ the King on the last day, it is with fear and trembling that we pray, "Thy kingdom come," and "Come, Lord Jesus." You do realize that both of those prayers have end time aspects. I mean, "Thy kingdom come" is a prayer for Christ to come and preserve and enlarge his church on earth, the kingdom of grace. But it's also a prayer for Christ to usher in his kingdom of glory, the church triumphant. And we pray that prayer with fear and trembling. But also, every time you pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," it's more than just a Lutheran prayer for there to be blessings upon good casseroles. It has more to it than just that. The day is coming when there will be no more days. Christ has promised that he will return amid the trumpets of angels. That is certain. When will this happen? Only God the Father knows. Whether or not this happens in our lifetime, there is one promise that is guaranteed. I mean, it could be today. It may not be for well past any of our lifetimes. But there will come a day when Christ our Lord says to you, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.